Hello and welcome to Otson Conmebol qualifiers for the World Cup. We have the 13th match day. We have Uruguay, Argentina, we have Brazil, Colombia, and of course we have Leo Bachanian with us. So let's analyze every single game with him, and of course with you. Leave a comment below in the comment section with your tips and predictions, and don't forget you can support us. Click on the like, subscribe to our channel and click on the bell to get notifications. And now let's go on with the show. New match day in the Conmebol qualifiers, and of course we have Leo Bachanian to analyze all five games. Nice to see you again, Leo. How are you?
How are you? The pleasure to see you again. It seems to me that we haven't seen each other for ages, but we have the Conmebol qualifiers back, so it's always good.
Exactly, it's always good, always exciting. So Let's start in Quito. We have Ecuador, Venezuela. Ecuador third, Venezuela still the worst team in the continent. They are 10th and they suffer a lot, Leo. When they are traveling, they haven't gotten any points when they are playing outside Caracas. But remember, we saw this game not long time ago in Caracas and Venezuela won. So I guess Ecuador, they need a victory to keep this third spot after the good point that they got in Barranquilla against Colombia, as we can expect, Leo, because Ecuador, they are being very reliable when they are playing at home. They are really favorites.
Yes, they are. Absolutely, they are. In October, Gustavo Alfaro, you know, Edu, the team manager, had a plan to collect 6 points from the triple round of fixture. His math on that time weren't wrong, absolutely not. It was difficult not to agree with him, taking into account they were facing Bolivia, Venezuela, and Colombia. The homework against Bolivia was done. The same could be said in Barranquilla. You mentioned the 0-0. Colombia was always good. 0-0 in Colombia was always going to be considered a good result. The problem ensued in Caracas because of that defeat you mentioned. As well, going into November qualifiers in Ecuador, the result still feels like an opportunity that they let slip through their hands. They are still third, it's true, with 17 points, but they know that the bad result in Quito and they could end up outside of the direct qualification spot if all the results also don't go their way. But still, they are the favorites for this match. For this encounter, Alfaro included more players from the Ecuadorian league to make up for five absences he's dealing because of injuries and because of players who have reached the limit of two yellow cards. Among the new faces, we will find Christian Cruz, Christian El Chavo, I love his nickname, Christian El Chavo Cruz, Jackson Rodriguez from Liga de Quito and from Emelec respectively. Both players play on the left, usually as wingers, but they also have done it as a left back. Why I'm saying this is because Alfaro cannot count with both of his first two options as a left back, Pervis Estupiñán, the first choice in that position, and Diego Palacios, who's always been a replacement as a left back, are both not in contention for the game against Venezuela. The mentioned Christian Cruz, Edu, played in a friendly with Mexico 2 weeks ago. Yes, Ecuador traveled to the United States to play a friendly against Mexico. They won it 3-2 that match 2 weeks ago in Charlotte, in which Alfaro used almost all players who have never seen action in a World Cup qualifier before. Cruz, actually, one of them, had a good game, so I will be surprised if he doesn't start against Venezuela. Also, in favor of Cruz is that playing for Liga de Quito, of course, he's used to play in the altitude. Piero Incapié, the Bayer Leverkusen player, has also played lately Europa League games as a left back, but I cannot see Alfaro improvising at this stage, such important match. Others who use the friendly against Mexico to claim a place this time are Janer Corozo and Michael Carcelén. The same goes for Diorkaef Riasco. Let me send my congratulations to Riasco's father for choosing the ex-French midfielder surname as a name for his son. Absolutely brilliant. Diorkaef Riasco. So Riasco will be one of the alternatives to replace the injured Ener Valencia and the suspended Michael Estrada. Valencia is missing both matches, but Estrada will return in Santiago against Chile. And then on the other hand, you have Venezuela, who has a record of 6 played and 6 defeats away from home this road to Qatar. They are still managed by an interim manager like Leo González. On this topic, González said in October that the last triple round of fixture was going to be his last matches as manager unless he was being confirmed in his position. However, when the Venezuelan Federation announced the list for Ecuador and Peru, they continue to call Leo González as interim manager. There were some rumors of José Perkelman taking over, but that was it. Nothing happened in the end. Leo González has been 6 games in charge so far with 5 defeats and that lonely victory against Ecuador in Caracas. One who is returning this time for Venezuela is the goalkeeper Rafael Romo, who plays in the Belgian First Division, and many are saying they want him to play instead of Wiker Fariñas, who didn't have a good match in Santiago in the last match when Chile won 3-0 against the Vino Tinto. The victory in the reverse fixture, yes, was the second victory for Venezuela in this road to Qatar, and was largely celebrated. The problem is that days after, Chile managed comfortably 3-0, as I said seconds ago. Likewise, the call for the junior from Barranquilla player stands out in this list of Leo González. So we will see some new faces in this Venezuelan team as well. And Edu, yes, despite of Ecuador missing some important players, they're still favorite. They are, of course. This said, in the last 5 meetings, Ecuador won 1, Venezuela won 1, and there have been 3 draws. But although I would still go for an Asian handicap of -1.5 for Ecuador, that comes with odds of 2.39. Also, goals over 2.5 with odds of 2.21. And Ecuador to win 2-0 has odds of 2.
I like that Ecuador, Asian handicap -1, odds 2.47. They have to win for 2 goals difference. I once met an Ecuadorian person called Stalin. Actually, Ecuadorian people are kind of, let's say, funny or original. Let's call it original when they are naming their children. Ecuador Venezuela, very important game for the three, going back to Quito after playing the last game in Guayaquil against Bolivia because they didn't want to play in the altitude. Then let's go to Paraguay. We have Paraguay, Chile. Leo, you've been telling us for long time that Berizzo was very close to lose his job, and actually finally he lost his job after the defeat 4-0 against Bolivia. We have a new manager, also Argentinian, Guillermo Barros Schelotto, and this game is crucial for both national teams if they want to be in Qatar. Chile, you were the only optimistic person about Chile, and also Lasarte, of course, after the back-to-back victories against Paraguay and Venezuela, they are still in the fight, but Leo, they must win also this one if the counts are correct to go to Qatar.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the 8th of October was when La Roja capitulated in Lima, and we thought that was the end of their hopes to reach Qatar. A month later, and they have resurrected their chances with those 2 straight wins against Paraguay and Venezuela. For Chile, this November qualifiers with Paraguay and Ecuador are more than 6 points in dispute. The continuity of a golden generation is again at stake. The continuity of Pablo Milat, the president of the Chilean Federation, is at stake. The continuity of Manuel Lasarte, the coach, is at stake. And also millions of dollars in prizes depend on the next result, because all national teams that qualify to the World Cup will get at least $8 million, which for the Chilean Federation could solve plenty of problems. Bravo, Isla, Medel, Alexis, and Sanchez know that this is their last chance to add another World Cup to their careers. Mauricio Isla has already made it clear, the old rockers to the World Cup. If it does not happen, then bye-bye. And despite the 2-0 on the reverse fixture away from home, the reality is completely different for Lasarte's team. 9 games without leaving the pitch with 3 points, and in two of the last 6 times that play away from Santiago, these qualifiers, they haven't managed to score. But confidence at the moment is with La Roja, Edu, yes. And when you go to the head-to-head, you will find that from the last 16 times they faced each other, there were 7 wins apiece and 2 draws. So there is a real parity between Paraguay and Chile, but I still will place the edge on Kings Arturo's team. Since the victory against Venezuela, Lasarte paid special attention to Eric Pulgar and Charles Aránguiz, who got injured with their respective teams. And although they have both been called, they are in doubt for these two finals that Lasarte has in front of him. Two others who won't be ready are Paulo Díaz, the River Plate defender, and Sebastián Vegas. And when it comes to Paraguay, yes, you said what I was thinking. So many times you spoke about Berizzo's time as a manager with Albirroja was coming to an end, that, well, in the end, this finally happened. After the defeat in La Paz, Guillermo Barros Echeloto, a manager who previously managed Lanús and Boca Juniors in Argentina, his first list did not come with surprises. In the 28-man squad he named, you have the Romero twins, Ángel and Oscar. So in this case, Echeloto followed the same decision than Berizzo, that despite Romero's brothers not having a club since August, they are still part of the national setup. There are two players that Guillermo knows from Lanús, from his time in Lanús. One is the captain, Gustavo Gómez, and the other one is the playmaker and winger, Miguel Almirón. And to be honest, to get back the best version of out of Almirón should be a priority for Guillermo if Paraguay stands any chance of at least fighting for a playoff spot. I said I placed Chile as favorites. The bookies don't think it's the same. Chile to win has odds of 2.97. I think we all think of a match without many goals in Asunción. That is why goals under 2.5 is at 1.58. A draw at halftime has odds of 1.98. That's it. And Chile to win the second half stands at 3.3. Also in the odd or even market, if your choice is odd as mine, the return is 1.95.
Actually, if we go for Chile Asian handicap 0, we have odds 2.03. So if they win, you win your bet, but if there is a draw, you get your money back. But be careful, because as you said, Leo, no victories for Chile away from Santiago, only 2 draws in this road to Qatar. They must change the situation if indeed they want to be in the World Cup. Then the next game, Brazil-Colombia, after the game against Ecuador. Leo, I was reading all the comments from the Colombian supporters, and they were very, very angry with the national coach, with Rueda, because he couldn't change the game against Ecuador. They got another goalless draw. It's a problem for this national team, because they have traveled to find the net, whereas Ospina was probably the best player on the pitch in the last international break. They were even able to get a point in Barranquilla against Brazil, but Leo, when Brazil is playing at home, this is completely different. It's very difficult to get any point from Brazil, as we saw against Uruguay with that 4-1 in the Amazon jungle in Manaus with Rafinha as a star. What do you expect here as well? You think Brazil should win comfortably this game?
Yes. When I will go to the odds, I will tell you that, yes, I believe I place Brazil to win comfortably this game. We were asking, no, for Tite's men to show more attacking force. We were always talking about of Brazil, that after they scored the first one or the second one, they stopped there, where against Uruguay, they had the best game of the qualifiers so far with that 4-1 victory. And for Colombia this time around, and in Brazil, is massive. Because after what happened with Ecuador, they couldn't take yet the 3 points, although they thought they had managed to secure a victory when Jerry Mina scored in the 94th minute, only for the VAR to disallow it because of a handball. And it's massive, because looking up is Ecuador with 17 points, one more than the Cafeteros. But the defeat in Brazil could mean that the distance with the 3 may now be 4 points after Thursday. And looking down is also massive, this match, because if Chile wins and Colombia does not rescue at least a point, that will mean that La Roja will take the playoff spot because of a better goal difference than the Cafeteros. Everyone in Colombia, Edu, is now talking about James Rodriguez because he was called again by Reinaldo Rueda after missing on the Copa America and all the qualifiers that have been played since September. However, the good news about James might be matched by the bad news regarding the health of Radamel Falcao, who scored a beauty against Real Madrid on the weekend,
always,
but also got injured. Oh, poor guy, yes. I mean, he always scored against Real Madrid.
He's always scoring with Rayo Vallecano, actually. Yes, he's younger than ever.
As well, yes. Mm-hmm. As well, absolutely, yes. That's the word, he's younger than ever. But by the time we are talking, it is not clear that he will travel to Brazil. We need to wait for that confirmation, but that would be a massive blow for Rueda. Although the options up front are good, as always, Duván Zapata scored against Manchester United last week and scored again this weekend. The question with him is always the same. Can he do with the national team what he does with Atalanta? Another one to score on the weekend was Rafael Santos Borré, who gave the 3 points to Eintracht Frankfurt. Mm. And because of his sacrifice, you know, without the ball, his eagerness to press, Borré is likely to start on Thursday. The same for Luis Diaz. Of course, another one to score on the weekend, in his case for Porto. In the reverse fixture in Barranquilla, that 0-0, David Ospina, man of the match. Actually, David Ospina is the best player of the competition so far for Colombia. That tells a lot. That afternoon, Colombia suffered a lot with Rafinha. Yes, you mentioned his name, who came on the second half, the same as Anthony, the Ajax winger. Rafinha has shown merits in October, Edu, to claim a regular spot in the starting 11. He changed the course of the game with Venezuela. He enjoyed some of the best chances with Colombia and had a great game in the demolition of Uruguay, scoring twice. So Rafinha on the right, Paquetá behind Neymar, and Anthony on the right. We will see how Rueda will handle all that firepower on his behalf. Well, more in Ospina's behalf, to be honest, than Rueda. I have to say, Colombia kept a clean sheet in their last three matches, Paraguay, Brazil, and Ecuador. I said Anthony and not Vinicius, Edu, because the Real Madrid player was not on the list originally.
Yeah.
Only got called a few days after because of Firmino's injury. A bit difficult anyway, at least for me to understand, because Vinicius is having an amazing season so far. 9 goals and 7 assists in 15 games for Real Madrid. Talking about surprises, on the squad is also Philippe Coutinho, which meant that Everton Ribeiro, the Flamengo winger, will be watching everything, all the action from home this time. Coutinho is another option for Tite in that left attacking spot, although with Tite, Coutinho usually plays behind the striker. Brazil never lost a qualifying match in their history and in their home soil, and Colombia have won just 0 of their last 5 World Cup qualifiers games against Brazil. So yes, Brazil clear favorites, of course. We'll see how long can Colombia resist the attacking waves of Brazil. Tite's men score almost 30% of their goals between the 61st minute of the match and the 75th minute of the match. So those favoring a draw in the first half could find odds of 2.3. However, with Uruguay, the goal feast started much earlier. So for those favoring Brazil scoring in both halves, the odds are 2.5, similar to an Asian handicap of minus 1.5 for Brazil, which stands at 2.4.
I guess, Leo, you like this Brazil Asian handicap minus 1.5. Could be a good option, even if someone fancies Brazil to win 2-0, 2.15, since Tite's men usually don't concede many goals. And as we are explaining, Colombia have a lot of difficulties to find the net. Strange to see back James Rodriguez playing in this very competitive league as it is in Qatar. But let's see if he can put some trouble to Brazil. Difficult to tell. The next game is Peru, Bolivia, and here this is a massive game, especially for Peru, a team that is doing very well when they are going to the Copa America, but in the qualifiers they are struggling, at least, or especially when they are playing away at home. Leo, at least they were able to beat Chile and Venezuela in the last two games, and I guess if they beat Bolivia and then they have also Venezuela at home, there will be still options for Gareca's men. And when you are playing in home soil Bolivia, this is always a must win, because we know how they suffer when they are not playing in the altitude of La Paz.
Yes, absolutely. And for Peru, Edu, last October passed with a sweet and sour taste. Sweet because of that victory against Chile that you mentioned in the Pacific Derby, the 2-0 at home in Lima, when everything seemed that slowly but surely Ricardo Gareca's team started climbing in the table, but very sour in the end, because I was followed by the 1-0 defeats against Bolivia and La Paz and Argentina in Buenos Aires, actually in the Monumental, even missing a penalty. With 18 points to be played in this Qatar 2022 qualifiers, Peru has 11 points, 5 below fifth, who is Uruguay with 16. So these two games playing at home are going to be crucial for them. Gareca, when arriving to Lima after announcing his 28-man squad, said that they will fight and they keep faith in getting to Qatar. He also asked the authorities to allow 100% capacity in the Estadio Nacional. In the last home games against Venezuela and Chile, Peru had the return of its fans to the stands, but only with 20% of the capacity of the national stadium. This percentage is among the lowest granted to other South American teams. Of course, one of the great stories in world football this year is the one of Sheriff Tiraspol, no, in the yeah. Champions League. So there was great expectation about the call of Gustavo Dulanto for Peru, especially after the Peruvian Federation sent a letter to Sheriff. However, Gareca in the end pointed out that they are following up the player and he will be called when they see fit. It's quite strange list, this one from Gareca, with 6 fullbacks and only 3 forwards: Jefferson Farfán, Alex Valera, and Gianluca Lapadula. Paolo Guerrero is out injured, same for Edison Flores and Jordi Reina. But the positive news come with Renato Tapia, who is now fit and playing again for Celta, and André Carrillo, the winger who is vital for Gareca and was out for a prolonged period of time. For Bolivia, Edu, yes, this is a real chance to see if they can really maintain any dream alive. They're in a good run with 3 wins in a row. Peru, Paraguay, and also a friendly against Salvador last Friday in the United States. They won 1-0. Marcelo Moreno Martins, the Bolivian goal scorer, spoke of these two matches with Peru and Uruguay as the most important ones in a long time for Bolivia. It is the time to win away from home. That's what he said, Moreno Martins. During the last 7 meetings with Peru playing at home, Peru have won 4 times and there have been 3 draws. And in those 7 matches, Peru scored 14 times, whereas Bolivia did the same, but only 7 times. So this time, Peru, although Peru is only showing flashes of the team we saw on the road to France and in the Copa America 2019, they are favorite for this encounter. Bolivia will for sure try to avoid the blackout they suffered last time away from home, because against Ecuador, those in 20 minutes they suffered 3 goals which finished the game for them, so they will need to avoid that kind of blackout for sure. The stakes are higher now. I will look at halftime, full-time market with the home team on the winning side on both half, which has odds of 2.25. Also, Peru scoring in both halves has odds of 2.62. Anyone fancy a double chance for Bolivia has odds of 3.13.
Okay, so you place Peru as favorites. I kind of like that, those odds, halftime, full time for Peru, because this is a must win for Peru, actually also for Bolivia, but they always struggle outside their country. Then, Leo, our last game, Uruguay-Argentina, Derby de la Plata, second round, the first one in Buenos Aires, was probably one of the best games of the Scaloni era, despite even winning the Copa America recently, but they were way better than Uruguay. Now, Tavares men, after that defeat, also they were heavily defeated by Brazil 4-1, so no good times for Uruguay, whereas Argentina, everyone is seeing if Leo Messi will be fit to play this game, because he's having a lot of troubles in the last weeks with PSG. And luckily, even if there are so many surprises in the list of Scaloni with many youngsters, Leo, yeah, we can finally see Paulo Dybala. He's not injured and he can travel finally with Argentina. That's big news.
Absolutely. To be honest, when on the weekend, when I was looking on an app, the scoreline for Juventus, one of the things I wanted to check was to see if Dybala was substituted or if something happened to him, you know. It's so with this thought that before, or that after being called a few days before traveling to Argentina, an injury comes on Dybala's way, and mostly because Messi also, we don't know if this time he will be able to play because of his injury. He was seen in Madrid being treated. He missed the last two games with PSG, so everything to see with him. The same goes with Leandro Paredes, like Messi, are on the 35-man squad that Scaloni called this time, but we are not sure that Paredes will be ready to play. A likely replacement, Guido Rodriguez, the Betis player, saw yesterday a red card in the derby of Andalusia. But another Argentinian player scored a beauty in that match. I'm talking about Marcos Acuña with a thunder from outside of the box. Acuña, also someone who is likely to start as a left back for Argentina. But despite the Paredes absence and probably maybe Messi, I have some concerns that, like with the form of Argentinian players. Emi Martinez, yes, it's true, with the national team he's doing great, but the start of the season with Aston Villa has been a little bit different as last season. They lost their manager and they lost four games in a row, and Emi Martinez not having the best game so far for the Villanos. Cristian Romero in Tottenham, he's having some indiscipline problems. He saw a red card playing in the Conference League yesterday, almost happened the same, because he looked like he was trying to headbutt Richarlison. They have like something going on there with the Brazilian player. On the right back, Gonzalo, now I lost his name, the Sevilla player, Montiel. The Gonzalo Montiel also is not enjoying a lot of minutes in his teams. Only Nahuel Molina is playing in that position as a right back for Udinese week after week. Otamendi was the first choice for Benfica, but now he's being placed on the bench. What I said about Paredes and his likely replacement with Guido Rodriguez, Lo Celso is not playing almost at all for Tottenham yesterday, only playing 20 minutes, the same on the Conference League. Lautaro Martinez didn't have a great Derby de la Madonina yesterday against Milan, so there are many things to think on the Scaloni's squad, but still, they are enjoying in the national setup, and many of these players, even though if they are not having the best form at their class, once they join the national team, the atmosphere is completely different for them, so we can expect anyway a good production from Scaloni's men. Tavares' list has only 25 players, because even though the original list contained 32 names, Edu, injuries press the numbers down. On the injury list, you will find Sebastián Cáceres, Matías Vinha, Federico Valverde, Nico de la Cruz, Georgian Rascaeta, Maxi Gomez, and Edison Cavani. But the concern in Uruguay is not only that Tavares could fall short of player if more injuries surface, but they could be in trouble to visit Bolivia in the altitude of La Paz also, because Diego Godín, José María Jiménez, Nathan Nández, and Matías Vecino, they are all one yellow card away with Argentina of missing that trip, that depending what happens in the Estadio Campeón del Siglo on Friday, could have a huge ramifications for Uruguay. Luis Suarez scored yesterday, and very likely he will play alongside Darwin Núñez, the Benfica striker. Yes, a massive for Uruguay, because then they travel to the altitude of La Paz, which could be very, very tricky, not only for them, it's very tricky for all the South American teams. But despite, or I believe that with all the absence of players or players not being in their best form, Edu, and the real chance that Messi won't play, I think a draw could satisfy both teams this time. And a draw for this match has odds of 3.26. Argentina and Uruguay playing in Montevideo have a history of sharing points when that result suited both teams. I don't imagine a game like in Buenos Aires, so I understand the odds of goals under 2.5 being at 1.72. And Uruguay to score first has odds of 2.25 in a game that I believe would end up in a draw, because that result could suit both teams, Edu.
Draw, I like it as well. 3.26 right now on Otspedia. You mentioned Lautaro missing a penalty in the derby in the derby de la Madonina. He was the scorer in the victory, in the last victory of Argentina against Peru. And remember that this Argentina of Scaloni is so tough to beat. Still, no defeats in this road to Qatar. So it's always good to go with Argentina taking points in Montevideo. Then, Leo, again, thank you very much for analyzing with us these five games, and perhaps always very difficult, we have to say, but we can place an ACA on our South American games.
Absolutely. Let's go for the ACA. Ecuador, Venezuela, Ecuador, Paraguay, Chile, Chile, Brazil, Colombia, Brazil, Peru, Bolivia, Peru, Uruguay, Argentina. I just said a draw for me. That brings an ACA of 22.78.
Okay, always be careful. There are so many surprises when we are talking about South America, but we will enjoy our games, and I will see you very soon, Leo. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will see you next time.
So we have now all the info to bet in this 13th match day. Let me know what you think about Leo Bachanian's picks, of course, in the comment section. And don't forget, click on the like, subscribe, and click on the bell to get notifications. Or, if you prefer also, we have a podcast for you. See you soon, and enjoy CONMEBOL.